Hello, this is Lee Havis. I'm Republican candidate for Maryland State Senate in Legislative District 21. I want to welcome you to this town hall meeting. This is a live call-in opportunity to discuss issues and concerns that are coming up. You know, we have an election coming up very soon. These midterm elections are important, not only nationally, but also here in Maryland. We have a lot of issues, and people are thinking a lot about what we need to do. We'll be in session from now until 8 o'clock tonight. We're going to give people a chance to get online with us in the first couple of minutes, so I want you to just hold on a bit until we get many people on board. So let me say again to welcome you to our town hall. This is a town hall meeting opportunity to call in to discuss questions and concerns that you have about our situation here in Maryland, but specifically Legislative District 21. Just remind you, Legislative District 21 includes College Park, Beltsville, Laurel, and a part of Anne Arundel County. So most of you on the call are located in that area. You're voters, and you're going to have an opportunity, like all of us, like all citizens do, to vote on positions in government office. The position that I'm running on is for Maryland State Senate. There's a state senator in each district. This is Legislative District 21, and there is a Maryland State Senate and a House of Delegates also. Both of these legislative bodies have to agree on legislation, so there's a lot of power and importance in the position of Maryland State Senate, as well as a delegate to the House of Delegates. Once again, I'm reminding you, we are on a town hall, and we're welcoming new people on this town hall meeting to discuss issues relating to Legislative District 21, specifically relating to my campaign for Maryland State Senate. I'm Lee Havis. My name will be on the ballot along with my opponent. Some of you have maybe even seen the ballot that comes to you in the mail, the so-called sample ballot. So you'll be familiar with my name. And on this call, you're going to find out a little bit about who I am and what positions I hold, and you'll have a chance to call in and talk to me also. So over the past year or so, I've been talking to a lot of people, and I've been listening to a lot of people in our legislative district, but this is an opportunity for many of you who have not had that opportunity to talk with me so far to get acquainted with me in a somewhat personal way. I know this is not one-to-one, but this is a conversation that we're having, and it is an opportunity to let me tell you a little bit about myself, why I'm running, and what the issues are that are in front of us. So this is a town hall meeting. Again, those of you who are just getting on, welcome to this town hall meeting. Again, my name is Lee Havis, and I am the Republican candidate for Maryland State Senate in Legislative District 21. If you do have a call, you do have a question that you would like to call in, this is the opportunity. What you must do is press 0 on your keypad. So as soon as you are ready and you have a question you want to discuss, just press 0. I'll be able to see the questions and be able to activate you. Let me start by informing you a little bit about myself, just general information. I am in my life, I am a private educator. I'm a director of the International Montessori Society, which is an international organization involved with Montessori education. It's an opportunity that gives me a chance to meet with educators, as a matter of fact, all over the world. I've done over 150 training workshops in a very specialized area, and it's given me a unique perspective on the field of education especially. One of the things that I discovered was very soon, because I am a lifelong Maryland resident, very soon I realized in this work that government is very heavily involved in education. So my work in education drew me naturally to be concerned about what government is doing. And frankly, government has been a huge problem. And I've been frustrated with it, so much so that I've become a civic activist. I've started organizations to help identify, evaluate candidates that would be more what I call citizen-friendly, more friendly to freedom for the individual. Of course, I wanted freedom for myself because I have things that I want to do that don't match up exactly what the government educational plan is. And this is a huge frustration that that I've felt for a long time. So it was a decision I made after a lot of frustration trying to get other people to respond to the things that I think government needs to do, especially in education, to make it more accountable, more responsive to freedom, more responsive to the parents and the students that are directly involved in the process to improve learning. And my frustration ultimately has led me through a lot of political organization, some important nonpartisan organizations that I've started, and then of course becoming politically active too. Most recently in the Republican Party and taking some leadership role in Prince George's County primarily, which is where I grew up. So I have a lot of things that I would like to see accomplished in the field of education, and that really was what motivated me. So that brings me to ultimately to run for office, because the representation that we have at present in Legislative 21 is not really oriented towards freedom of the ordinary citizen. And it's really very difficult to talk to the people who are our representatives. I've found it that way. It's really a pointless kind of exercise. And it's a frustration that I think a lot of residents and citizens and voters in our legislative district feel. I've gotten very well acquainted with people in our legislative district. I've visited a lot of churches. I've talked to a lot of people that way, and have had a chance to recognize that there is a lot of frustration. My main concerns are to lower the taxes and to provide more freedom for individuals to live their own lives without the election of Governor Hogan. We would be in a real terrible situation with so much high taxing and government regulations that's really been poured on in Maryland, and particularly in our area, Prince George's County, and has been very much a machine driven type of politics. It's been very bad for government. It's given us a government that has allowed a great deal of corruption to enter into the whole operation of government, and politicians keep getting elected year after year, and there's very little accountability. People get elected without very much input from ordinary citizens. Now, I'm not blaming the political leaders for that. They're simply filling a vacuum. Apathy and indifference is a problem that we have to deal with. But it's up to us, and I'd say it's up to you, the voters, to decide whether we're really happy with the present representation or we want to make a change. So I'm offering a change through my campaign and candidacy. I want to tell you again to press 0 if you have a question, and if you would like to get involved in an interaction on concerns that you have. I see that there is one question that has come up, and let me see if I can get that person online to ask a question. Kathy, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, tell us your question.
Well, I have a couple of questions, but one that's come up to me just recently is, what can you do that the incumbent can't do?
Well, that is an excellent question. Let me say first that a legislator is not king, is not all powerful. This is something I told so there's a lot of things that you can't do, and that is a lot of the frustration that I know I would feel that frustration. I'll tell you one thing right off that I can do that my opponent can't do is I can vote against bad legislation. I can vote against legislation that empowers politicians and restricts and controls the freedom of individuals. There are bad pieces of legislation that come from my opponent and his allies working together to build more and more power in the elected officials rather than the individuals. And I certainly would be a voice against that kind of legislation. And certainly I can propose and fight for legislative ideas that are much more citizen-friendly. In the area of education, for example, I would be in favor of more choice and competition. And that means parents and teachers and students need to be more directly involved in that process of what goes on. And of course, private education, like me as a private educator, I need to be free of the repressive censorship and monopoly control that's been habitually operating in Maryland. So those are some, I've got some specific ideas. You can certainly look at my website, havisforsenate.com, and you can see more specifically some of the things that I have in mind. Does that get to the gist of your question?
Yes, that helps quite a bit. I have one more if you have time. Sure. How does your experience prepare you to represent us in the state Senate?
My experience In my prior remarks, I was talking a little bit about my frustration, which has led me to engage a lot in the issues that will make for a better government. I've looked at things, not only education, but I've looked at the taxing system and the way that money is spent in an abusive way that is more wasteful and more mismanaged than is efficient. We need to look at we need to have leadership for the kinds of optional legislation away from this big controlling type of government. So a lot is what not to do, but we also need to have good ideas that remove the special interests. I think that's one of the big problems, that legislators get the idea that they're the ones who are issuing benefits to individuals. We need to have a more uniform system of allocating resources, not favoring one company over another. Lower taxes is something that is a challenge, because government becomes so big and so intrusive, there's very little room for the free market to operate. So we have to change that dynamic, and there has to be a fighter for it. I told when I was interviewing with the Prince George's County Teachers Association for their endorsement, I informed them that although I have strong ideas about what is good education, I also realize that it's not a good result for everyone to force education or an idea on everybody else. We have to have a condition of freedom, and that means I would be in the legislative role as somebody who would be respecting the more individual choice of individual parents and local school districts. So I'd like to see if we could decentralize many of the things that are done in education, for example, instead of mandating so many things that that come from the state, allow more experimentation in the local school districts.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate your question. I see another question here. Let me let's see. This comes from Rachel. Hello.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Well, great. I was just wondering, what makes you the most qualified to represent our district?
I'll tell you something. I'm probably not the most qualified. I wish that there were somebody more qualified than I am, and there may very well be. But the problem is nobody stood up against the incumbent. His name is Rosa Pepe. The last time he ran, he had no primary competition and no general election competition. So nobody else seemed to step up. I have a lot of confidence in myself in terms of the responsibility that I've taken in my private life in the field of education, for example, the work that I've done through evaluating and looking at candidates who could be better for our government. So I've evaluated and looked at issues from that citizen perspective a lot, and that has given me some ideas that I think I can fight effectively for that without being. It will be difficult in Annapolis, of course, because there is a strong majority that has been oriented towards special interest and taking advantage, really, of the the apathy and indifference of so many people. You know, the demographics in our district is oriented to often to students and to elderly and to renters and people who are not really well connected with the with the concerns and needs of the local government. There is a big interest in national government, for example. So lack of interest in concern for the local situation is a big problem. But I don't see anybody else more qualified. If there were, I would be glad to step aside. I don't relish government service as much as just correcting the problems that we have. So I think that that's what we need. I think I can do a better job than because my philosophy is oriented to helping the ordinary citizen instead of the special interests and the benefit of the leaders in government. Let me remind you, those who are on the line, that you can press star zero if you have a question. Would like to enter into the not star zero. I beg your pardon. Just press zero. That will get you into to ask a question, and I would like to respond to as many as I can in the time that we have. I also want to suggest that if you would like to support my campaign, I need your help. Of course, I'd like your help, and you know, most importantly, for voting for me. But also, we have work to do in these critical couple of weeks. If you press one, the number one on your keypad, you can let me know if you'd like to volunteer. If you'd like a yard sign, or would like to circulate literature, hand out information at the polls, this is much needed. I have been fortunate to gain the support of a number of people, good friends that have been active with me, but the numbers are not as great as would be possible with a huge amount of money, for example. But with volunteer help, and I do have a lot of experience in knowing how to organize. That's one of the things that I've been very good at because of the practice that I've had to help us get through to victory. A lot of people say you can't be successful when you're going up against a well established machine, and it is difficult. But I think it's possible. It's really up to you voters to decide. You can help me in this cause if you would like to. Just press one, and we'll have somebody from our campaign contact to follow up. So again, press zero if you would like to make a call. There are a lot of issues that that come up in people's minds that you might have that I haven't thought of. I have identified three issues that I think resonate with a lot of people. One is lower taxes, and how do we get to lower taxes? It is obviously we have to cut spending. We also have to, you know, cut the waste and the mismanagement. The other area is public safety. What are we going to do with issues like preponderance of MS-13 gangs, the problem of a large population of illegal aliens who are involved with trafficking, human trafficking, drug dealing, robbery, serious violent crimes that affect our local communities? We're not getting a lot of help from the current representation in the Maryland General Assembly, and I certainly would would work against the conditions that allow that kind of violent crime to persist. There are a number of things that can be done at the state level, legislation that would avoid this kind of allowance of illegal alien criminality to persist. I would certainly be strong to limit and control that kind of influence would work against that. The other area is to improve public education, and I have a lot of ideas about that. I'm seeing a question that comes in. Let Marcia Hughes ask that question. Marcia, are you on the line?
I sure am, Lee. It's good to talk to you.
Well, good to talk to you. Ask your question.
I'm the one that's very concerned about MS-13 because where I live in College Park, our neighborhood, the whole street area, was ransacked about 2 years ago by groups from MS-13. And they did all kinds of stuff, stealing tires from cars, trying to break into houses, breaking windows. You were here and, you know, saw that they had broken my dining room window and everything. But beyond that, let me share with everyone that's listening. I've been in education a long time, like Lee. And one of my experiences in education, before I realized who they were, I was teaching ESOL at Casa de Maryland. If there's someone that doesn't understand what I'm talking about, it is a major anti-American group that fosters what's going on. And teaching there, you know, I discovered that because the director of the program, every time they had like a graduation ceremony after we finished the semester, he was just spitting out vitriol against the United States. We're going to change this country. And it was very hateful. And then one time he was visited, you might remember Kathy, I can't remember, she was a member of the Kennedy clan, and she was running for governor at that time, and she was on the side porch of the house where they held all of this stuff, and she was promising that she was going to make sure that the Democrat Party and everything was constantly winning, because the Democrat Party is using immigrants. They really don't care. They want power.
Let me, Marcia, in the interest of time, let me see if I can just respond to your question. We're getting some other questions in, too, now, okay?
Sure.
I certainly agree with your sentiment. It is very frustrating, and I know your community. I've talked to a number of people there who you know, express that same sentiment. Let me explain what I did. In the last legislative session, I spoke against this so-called sanctuary legislation which was being proposed. Sanctuary legislation is essentially what allows this criminal MS-13 violence to continue, because it essentially handcuffs the police to even inquire about when they apprehend somebody who is in violation of the local law. They prohibit in Prince George's County from inquiring about their status. So even though they're illegal, even though they're criminals, many times they're released back into the community. Whereas in some jurisdictions, which are not sanctuary, basically the sanctuary is protecting the criminal illegal aliens. It doesn't have to be that way, but there are forces in the General Assembly that I'm opposing that are trying to establish this permissive allowance of criminal illegal alien behavior on a statewide level. That was legislation that was proposed and put forward by allies by the Democrats, by the other side, by the majority. But I submitted testimony against that, and I certainly don't want to see what we're doing in Prince George's County magnified throughout the whole state, which is what many of the current representatives we have in the county, if not all of them in the state, are urging. So we need to stop that, and I certainly would be a voice against that. I'd like to see it stopped in Prince George's County, but that's really up to at the present time. There was legislation to prohibit that kind of local essentially illegal or let's say anti-crime position to be enforced. I would favor legislation that would essentially prohibit local jurisdictions from allowing that kind of criminal sanctuary. But that's a battle. Obviously, we have to fight, and it's a tough one when the political leaders are fighting so hard to protect the illegal aliens over the ordinary citizens. There's another question I see coming up from Nancy, and I really would like to address this one. So let me move on to your question, Nancy. Go ahead, introduce yourself and ask your question.
Hi there, Lee. Good to talk to you this evening. Good conversation so far. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, good. It seems like every other year or so, we're here in Prince George's County, we're sending somebody off to jail for fraud. And I'm just, you know, I'm just sick of it. I just think we're the laughingstock of everybody, and I'm sick of it. And I was wondering, do you have any specific plan in place that would help to track this down and provide accountability to everybody?
All accountability. Let's talk about accountability. I was listening to my opponent speak about accountability in the school system, which is basically what we're talking about is mismanagement, corruption, dysfunctionality at an extremely high level. It comes from apathy and indifference. It comes from lack of what we call transparency. Everything is hidden. I won't say everything, but when basically the function of government is hidden, is allowed to operate in the dark, all sorts of bad things happen. And that's really the problem that we have in Prince George's County. We have elected leaders that are virtually afraid of of what they're doing. They want to keep things in the dark. And I don't want to blame them. I just want to look at the problem is one of lack of transparency that goes along with accountability. You can't be accountable for something that you don't know is happening. And so when you have contracts that are made that basically prevent you from speaking out, basically they put a muzzle on you or they intimidate you with restrictive contracts so you can't speak out what the problems are. This is the problem. This is where fraud comes about. Now, obviously, it's a criminal problem. You try to catch people when they've done it, but it's very hard to find out what they've done unless you have. What do you need? You need vigilant whistleblowers. You need vigilant people, and unfortunately, and we do have some good people in Prince George's County who are looking out for citizens, but it really takes people, organizations like Judicial Watch. And now I myself have submitted, I have an organization, a nonpartisan organization that I started called Citizens for a Better Prince George's County. And through that mechanism, I have tried to, I think public awareness is very important. I have identified, along with some others, some of the gross areas of abuse. One of them is the violation of what is called the trim provision of the county council. Homeowners passed a portion of the charter that requires that property owners, that voters have to approve increased rates of property taxes before they're allowed to function. But my opponent and his allies in the Maryland General Assembly passed laws that allowed or attempted to allow local political leaders to work around that trim provision. So they actually passed an increase in property tax rates in violation of trim. Now, they claim it's not in violation because there's a state law that says that if you use the term education, if you claim that you're using the extra money that you're going to tax citizens for education, then you're allowed to essentially override these kinds of local protections. Now, we're in court right now, not me personally, but my organization has been supporting legal action to overturn that action. Citizens shouldn't have to do that. We should have better elected officials. So the ultimate, we shouldn't have to have elected officials that are working for their own benefit, but rather working for good, ethical government that responds and respects the interests and needs of ordinary citizens, which is what? Which is to have equal and fair laws and operation that works for everybody. And this is where special interests come in. People want something special for themselves rather than simply a fair and equitable treatment for everybody. I feel very strongly about that kind of legislation. But getting to your question, what can be done about the fraud, I think the main thing that citizens have to do is we need public awareness. The more people that become aware, we have to get out of the dark corners of fear. We have to get over the fear that we have. And I see that in so many people. They're afraid of standing up. I know one very good man who stays anonymous, but he reveals a lot of the corruption. He doesn't want to expose himself because he's afraid. We individuals, we citizens have got to overcome that fear. And the only way I know to do it is for people to stand up and to speak out and to create more public awareness. That's one of the things that has been a growth area for me. For many years, I was very much like that, wanting to avoid government, wanting to work around government, being intimidated and somewhat victimized by government. It's not the American way, is it, Nancy?
I'm listening with both ears.
It's our government, isn't it? We, the citizens, have mm-hmm. the role in the United States to claim authority and responsibility over the government. It doesn't work that way, does it, in Prince George's County? If we allow it to happen, we have got to stop allowing it to happen. So we individually, through our clubs and through our citizens' organizations, have simply got to restore the proper relationship between citizens and government, and asking political leaders who have essentially no accountability and who can among themselves in a machine-like style of governance can simply keep doing those things that builds up that condition. We can't rely on that system. We have to change it, and that means that's our responsibility. So that's what we've been doing. That's what I've been doing in my campaign is to provide some leadership that we can speak out. We just have to reclaim our role. Now, to some extent, we need to rely on law enforcement. We need to have people like the Attorney General who will pay more attention to the criminality and the fraud that is taking place. Unfortunately, so often we have to rely on the national law enforcement, the FBI. We get the federal authorities involved. You know, it's interesting that the FBI has been looking at Prince George's County to locate a major new facility, And I'm very concerned that the reason that we're not getting that kind of benefit, which would be so good for our county, is because maybe the federals are very cautious about establishing a major agency where the community is simply not receptive to law enforcement. That may not be the case, but it does point out that we have a serious problem in Prince George's County, and the only way I know to counter it as citizens is to take back control one step at a time. And I'm very proud and pleased that there are candidates that are stepping up and that are speaking out, and people like Felicia Falarn, and my running mates on the House of Delegates side are urging that kind of new approach to government. But it is difficult, as you can imagine, because the opposition is very well organized, and they've learned how to work together to keep that power and control in themselves. So let's see. You know, it's up to the voters, isn't it? In the electoral process, to see if we can start to get some elected officials in Prince George's County who will be responsive to the citizens, who will respect the ethical and moral considerations of the citizens, rather than to take whatever power and control that they can.
Well, you're helping to make it a two-party county now, and it instead of what it used to be, and I'm proud of you.
Well, thank you, Nancy. I've got another question here. I want to give another person a chance. Hey, look, if you have a question or you want to join the conversation, press zero. That will do it. And also on the volunteer, if you want to help my efforts in the closing weeks to get a yard sign or help with getting this message out, so we let people know, more of the voters, about the opportunity to get new representation in Legislative 21. You want to volunteer for my campaign? Press 1. And we'll have someone get back in touch with you and follow up on that. Here's another question. This one comes from Frank. Want to introduce yourself? You're live now.
Hey, Lee. How you doing?
Doing fine.
Good. Hey, what I'd like to know is, what's your vision for the state, and what are your top priorities? And do they coincide with what Governor Hogan wants to accomplish?
Well,
because I know your opponent, Rosa Obstruction, votes against Hogan 95% of the time. Hogan have an ally with you in the Senate?
He certainly would, and several key pieces of legislation. You know, the real problem that we have, and this is an excellent question, we have a governor who is trying every way possible to institute lower taxes, respect the ordinary citizen, the freedom of the ordinary citizen, providing more choice and competition in education, freeing up the oppressive regulations in business, and he's dealing with a super majority that can override his veto. One of the things that that I pointed out to the governor when I spoke with him recently, I mentioned him accountability in education, particularly over the terrible conditions we have in Prince George's County. The governor wanted to establish an inspector general, a commission with oversight responsibility for the abuses in the public school systems, especially in Prince George's County. And my opponent is opposed to that. He doesn't want st- state-level accountability. And the reason that he gave is that he says in Prince George's County, we already have accountability. That is ridiculous. The fox is guarding the hen house. We've given accountability to people who are not accountable to the citizens. They should be, of course. We should have responsible local elected officials. But things in Prince George's County are out of control, as they are in some other jurisdictions. Baltimore City is another dysfunctional jurisdiction. Just letting them have everything they want, giving them more money to spend it however they want, is creating a nightmare. If we don't stand up against this, if we don't stop this fraud, this corruption, this unaccountable and irresponsible political machine that we have in Prince George's County, we're going to be driving ourselves. We will surpass Baltimore City for lack of employment, for a very low grade lifestyle, where government services are going to be miserable, where people won't want to live here. It's already a big problem. I as a long term Prince George's resident, and I grew up here in College Park, I don't want to see this happen. But it's up to us to fight against it. And at the practical level, if I get elected, if a number of Republican candidates such as myself get elected, we only need 5 to change from the Democrat side, we can hold the governor's veto. And that means that the supermajority will be effectively disempowered. It won't be able to override really, really bad legislation that the governor is vetoing. One of the most important things that's happening is a redistricting in 2020, which will allow the governor to change the electoral districts. You know how the electoral districts are organized. If you look at the congressional districts, they're winding all over the place, from up by the border of Pennsylvania down to southern Maryland. It's not quite that bad, but it's one of the worst gerrymandered states. And they do this to maintain the one-party machine-type control, because the reason they could do that was because Governor O'Malley and Bush and Miller, the two Democrat leaders of the House and the Senate, sit around together and they figured out how best to maintain this one-party machine control. And there's no opposition. This is a formula for total corruption, where people who are committed to power and control over everything can pick apart every opportunity for communities to make decisions in a logical and sensible manner between alternatives. Instead of in our district in College Park, I have to travel a long ways away to get up to the parts of Anne Arundel County which are part of Legislative District 21, and we could go into the reasons why the district is carved up that way, but it's all politics. And politics, it's not good for people. It's not good for the ordinary citizen. We need to have more concise, more cohesive kinds of districts, where people in the same community are vying among themselves, and not way off in the hinterlands of the Eastern Shore with, you know, parts of Western Maryland all cobbled together. And the redistricting plan that the governor will come up with at the 2020 census will be a good one. I think the governor has a good plan to stop this gerrymandering, to create districts that are more sensible, that are more cohesive, that are compact, that are respecting the jurisdictional divisions. And this will this plan, if we have at least 5 senators on the Republican side that we don't have now, the General Assembly will not be able to override that redistricting plan. But we have to have that change in the General Assembly. Otherwise, it will be turned over to the General Assembly. Let me remind you, if you want to get into the conversation, press 0, and you can ask a question. Did that get to your concern there, Frank?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Okay. Now you talked about what can be done, you know, whether I'm going to be supporting Hogan or not, and of course,
exactly,
on the good things, his agenda, I'm really very supportive of his agenda, but I will be thinking, of course, using my own good judgment to work through each of the situations we have. There are a lot of things that are not being well addressed, and particularly in the area of public education. I think there's a lot that can be done to expand choice and competition, for example. So, yeah.
Rosa Pepe, he seemed to start out as a fairly normal Democrat, but he seems to be a radical now. Do you get that sense with him?
Well,
he seems to be, he's gone to the dark side.
Well, he, I think he's reflecting human nature. I think human nature in a candidate form, I made that point with him. I said I favored term limits. He doesn't favor term limits. And we need term limits because human nature is such that if a person consolidates too much power, they lose the purpose of what they're there for. And it's just too easy to intimidate people when you consolidate power to yourself. And it's not personal to Rosa Pepe. I think it's a flaw in human nature. We have got to, the reason we have government, in my judgment, the reason we have government at all is because of the failure of human nature. Why do we have to have government? If everybody is perfect and loves everybody, we can just take care of ourselves and each other and our families and our communities. We have government because we have things like crime and violence and greed and failures of character. The problem is to balance it properly, not to have it so great that it stifles out freedom. My goodness, people need an opportunity to fail. If they don't have an opportunity to fail, how can they succeed? When you give everything to people, eventually there's nothing left because the money comes from taxpayers. I made that point to Rosa Pepe at a recent candidate forum. He was very concerned about some public service that was being conducted by a private company. He said it went bankrupt. And I said, well, if you turn it over to the taxpayers, it will never go bankrupt, but the taxpayers will go bankrupt. It's a philosophical difference that is very strong, and it comes from being, I think, too long in a position where government becomes your own business. You lose touch with what the purpose of government is. It's not to make money for the politicians or your friends. It's to allow people to make money and to make friends and to develop things that are good for people in the private sector. And we've really lost touch with that. We have a long way to go to get back. Let me remind you again, we're getting close to the end of our time together, that if you press 0, you can ask a question, and we'll be glad to include you in the conversation. Press 1 if you'd like to help me gain victory in November. We have, obviously, we're getting close to the time where voters have to decide. I've spent a good part of the past year talking and with the cooperation of the supporters that I've had. We've been out and around and talking to people as much as we can. But you know, there's 69,000 voters, registered voters in Legislative District 21. And I can't possibly meet them all. So I really appreciate, appreciate those of you who are on the call here to listen and find out about my concerns, what I want to fight for in the General Assembly. Although I fought hard to get the endorsement of the Prince George's County Teachers Association. Now, you would think that somebody who supports choice and competition would not be the obvious choice of the teachers union, and to some extent the teachers union is sort of on, you know, they have certain issues that seem to be in conflict with real choice and competition, but I'm an educator and I have a lot of respect for teachers, and that's the reason I wanted to meet with them, and it was a very positive discussion. There were some things that we agreed on and things that Rosa Pepe doesn't agree with the teacher union on. As a matter of fact, Rosa Pepe did not get the endorsement of the Prince George's Teachers Association. So the teachers union and I agreed on a couple of very important things. One is we should have an all-elected school board. The teachers union has taken that position, and I certainly agree with that. The problem is my opponent likes the idea of appointed people, that the county executive gets to appoint people. Well, you know, I remember when Rushern Baker, our county executive, argued. I went to hearings. I went to his town hall, and where he said, "Just give me the power, and I will make the things right. I cannot make the school system work unless I have the authority. And just let me appoint people. Let me make it work." Just I remember him and his top aides talking that way. And look what happened. We had in school suspensions over 600 in a year, gradeflation, hundreds of citizens and teachers and ordinary citizens questioning what's going on with the school system. I could tell you so many stories of the mismanagement that goes on, and it's not operating for the benefit of children and the well-being of the students and the families involved. So we've got to change that, and the best way to do that is to change the leadership. Where those kind of bad ideas are coming from, we've got to change the people who are representing that. And that's where my opponent is. So I'm giving people a choice, and I've tried to explain in our town hall meeting here what that choice is. To me, it's about freedom. It's about giving ordinary citizens an even, fair opportunity. It means ending corruption by ending these special interests that are controlling to bring about and to maintain this machine style of special interest politics. It's gone on a long time. Marcia mentioned it earlier in her comments. We've got the only way to change it is we citizens have got to stand up. And look, an election time is a time, it's the way the system is oriented, that we stand up as citizens and we vote, and it will be the voters who decide who is going to be the next senator. I'm really confident that we have a good board of elections in Prince George's County that's going to give us a fair vote, I'm confident that in a fair vote, everything is going to come out properly, and that means that the voters, the people who go to the polls, are the ones who are going to decide what kind of leadership we're going to have. It's either going to be me or it's going to be the incumbent, Rosa Pepe. So it'll be in your hands very soon, and we'll see how that goes. Now, if you've got an issue that you has not been addressed or you have something unresolved in this town hall, please go to my website. And you'll see more information, more issues that I've tried to make present in a more detailed manner. Website is havisforsenate.com. If you go there, you'll find my email and you'll find my phone number. You can contact me directly and follow up on on issues that that are of, you know, particularly concern to you. I want to thank you for joining this town hall, and hope that it has been beneficial. We're going to keep fighting and keep working ahead to let the voters know more and more about what I stand for, and give as many voters as possible a chance to vote in a conscientious and thoughtful manner. I will be on the ballot. You can vote for me at the early voting, by absentee ballot, if you have one of those, or on Election Day, November 6th, 2018. Early voting is coming up October 25th, and it goes until November 1st. During that time, there are several early voting centers. Go to any early voting center between 10 a.m. and 8 p.m., and doesn't have to be in your local area. There happens to be in our district one in College Park, one in Beltsville Lowell, and one in Odenton. But you can go to any voting center. I believe it has to be in your own county, but any early voting center, you can go there and you can vote. You should have a sample ballot so you can see what the options are. And certainly on Election Day, you go to your local polling place. They're open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. There's the opportunity for voters. So soon it will be in your hands. And as a citizen, I'm hoping that things will come out right. I am confident that over this past year we've done it. We've really carried out a very good campaign. We have, you know, limited amount of funds and resources, but I think it's a terrific message. I think it's a message that really favors more the ordinary citizen, which means everybody. So I thank you again and wish you a good evening. Again, go to my website, havisforsenate.com. That'll be the best way to follow up. Thanks again. Bye.